January 23rd. Our reading in the Old Testament today comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 46, verse 1. We'll go through chapter 47, verse 31. Here is an overview of what's going on here in these chapters of Genesis. It would not be easy for Jacob, now 130 years old, to leave the land God gave him and go to Egypt. But Jacob was able to go with confidence and peace because he was sure of God's promise and presence. Furthermore, Jacob knew that God had gone before him and that Joseph was there making everything ready for him. The future is your friend when Jesus is your Lord and you follow him. Egypt was a haven for Jacob and his family, and there God protected them and built of them a great people. But Jacob knew that Egypt was not his home. Canaan was. And he wanted to be buried there with the others who had made the same pilgrimage of faith. He was a testimony in life, and he wanted to be a testimony in death. Despite his mistakes and failures in life, Jacob ended well. And now with that, let's begin our reading here today in the Old Testament. January 23rd, Genesis chapter 46, verse 1, through chapter 47, verse 31. So Jacob set out for Egypt with all his possessions. And when he came to Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. During the night, God spoke to him in a vision. "Jacob, Jacob," he called. "Here I am," Jacob replied. "I am God," the voice said, "the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will see to it that you become a great nation there. I will go with you down to Egypt, and I will bring your descendants back again. But you will die in Egypt with Joseph at your side." So Jacob left Beersheba, and his sons brought him to Egypt. They carried their little ones and wives in the wagons Pharaoh had provided for them. They brought their livestock, too, and all the belongings they had acquired in the land of Canaan. Jacob and his entire family arrived in Egypt, sons and daughters, grandsons and granddaughters, all his descendants. These are the names of the Israelites, the descendants of Jacob, who went with him to Egypt. Reuben was Jacob's oldest son. The sons of Reuben were Hanok, Palu, Hezron, and Carmi. The sons of Simeon were Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Zohar, and Shaul. Shaul's mother was a Canaanite woman. The sons of Levi were Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The sons of Judah were Onan, Shelah, Perez, and Zerah. But and Onan had died in the land of Canaan. The sons of Perez were Hezron and Hamul. The sons of Issachar were Tola, Pua, Jashub, and Shimron. The sons of Zebulun were Sered, Elon, and Jalil. These are the sons of Jacob, who were born to Leah in Padan Aram, along with her sister Dinah. In all, Jacob's descendants through Leah numbered 33. The sons of Gad were Ziphon, Haggai, Shunai, Esbon, Erai, Arodai, and Areli. The sons of Asher were Imnah, Ishva, Ishvi, and Beriah. Their sister was named Sirah. Beriah's sons were Heber and Malkiel. These 16 were descendants of Jacob through Zilpah, the servant given to Leah by her father Laban. The sons of Jacob's wife Rachel were Joseph and Benjamin. Joseph's sons, born in the land of Egypt, were Manasseh and Ephraim. Their mother was Asenath, daughter of Potipherah, priest of Heliopolis. Benjamin's sons were Bela, Beker, Ashbel, Gera, Naaman, Ehi, Rosh, Mupim, Hupim, and Ard. These 14 were the descendants of Jacob and his wife Rachel. The son of Dan was Hushim. The sons of Naphtali were Jaziel, Gunai, Jezer, and Shillem. These seven were the descendants of Jacob through Bilhah, the servant given to Rachel by her father Laban. So the total number of Jacob's direct descendants who went with him to Egypt, not counting his sons' wives, was 66. Joseph also had two sons, who had been born in Egypt. So altogether, there were 70 members of Jacob's family in the land of Egypt. Jacob sent Judah on ahead to meet Joseph and get directions to the land of Goshen. And when they all arrived there, Joseph prepared his chariot and traveled to Goshen to meet his father. As soon as Joseph arrived, he embraced his father and wept on his shoulder for a long time. Then Jacob said to Joseph, "Now let me die, for I have seen you with my own eyes and know you are still alive." And Joseph said to his brothers and to all their households, "I'll go and tell Pharaoh that you have all come from the land of Canaan to join me. And I will tell him, 'These men are shepherds and livestock breeders. They have brought with them their flocks and herds and everything they own. So when Pharaoh calls for you and asks you about your occupation, tell him, "We have been livestock breeders from our youth, as our ancestors have been for many generations." When you tell him this, he will let you live here in the land of Goshen, for shepherds are despised in the land of Egypt." So Joseph went to see Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brothers are here from Canaan. They came with all their flocks and herds and possessions, and they are now in the land of Goshen." Joseph took five of his brothers with him and presented them to Pharaoh. Pharaoh asked them, "What is your occupation?" And they replied, "We are shepherds, like our ancestors. We have come to live here in Egypt, for there is no pasture for our flocks in Canaan. The famine is very severe there. We request permission to live in the land of Goshen." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Now that your family has joined you here, choose any place you like for them to live. Give them the best land of Egypt. The land of Goshen will be fine. And if any of them have special skills, put them in charge of my livestock too." Then Joseph brought his father, Jacob, and presented him to Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. "How old are you?" Pharaoh asked him. Jacob replied, "I have lived for 130 hard years, but I am still not nearly as old as many of my ancestors." Then Jacob blessed Pharaoh again before he left. So Joseph assigned the best land of Egypt, the land of Ramesses, to his father and brothers, just as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph furnished food to his father and brothers in amounts appropriate to the number of their dependents. Meanwhile, the famine became worse and worse, and the crops continued to fail throughout Egypt and Canaan. Joseph collected all the money in Egypt and Canaan in exchange for grain, and he brought the money to Pharaoh's treasure house. When the people of Egypt and Canaan ran out of money, they came to Joseph crying again for food. "Our money is gone," they said, "but give us bread. Why should we die?" "Well then," Joseph replied, "since your money is gone, give me your livestock. I will give you food in exchange." So they gave their livestock to Joseph in exchange for food. Soon all the horses, flocks, herds, and donkeys of Egypt were in Pharaoh's possession. But at least they were able to purchase food for that year. The next year they came again and said, "Our money is gone, and our livestock are yours. We have nothing left but our bodies and land. Why should we die before your very eyes? Buy us and our land in exchange for food. We will then become servants to Pharaoh. Just give us grain so that our lives may be saved and so the land will not become empty and desolate." So Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. All the Egyptians sold him their fields because the famine was so severe, and their land then belonged to Pharaoh. Thus all the people of Egypt became servants to Pharaoh. The only land he didn't buy was that belonging to the priests, for they were assigned food from Pharaoh and didn't need to sell their land. Then Joseph said to the people, "See, I have bought you and your land for Pharaoh. I will provide you with seed, so you can plant the fields. Then when you harvest it, a fifth of your crop will belong to Pharaoh. Keep four-fifths for yourselves, and use it to plant the next year's crop, and to feed yourselves, your households, and your little ones. You have saved our lives, they exclaimed. May it please you, sir, to let us be Pharaoh's servants. Joseph then made it a law throughout the land of Egypt, and it is still the law, that Pharaoh should receive one-fifth of all the crops grown on his land. But since Pharaoh had not taken over the priests' land, they were exempt from this payment. So the people of Israel settled in the land of Goshen in Egypt, and before long they began to prosper there, and their population grew rapidly. Jacob lived for 17 years after his arrival in Egypt. So he was 147 years old when he died. As the time of his death drew near, he called for his son Joseph and said to him, "If you are pleased with me, swear most solemnly that you will honor this, my last request. Do not bury me in Egypt. When I am dead, take me out of Egypt and bury me beside my ancestors." So Joseph promised that he would. "Swear that you will do it," Jacob insisted. So Joseph gave his oath, and Jacob bowed in worship as he leaned on his staff. January 23rd. And now, as we turn our attention to the reading of the New Testament, our narrative today will be from the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 1 through 28. Our Lord's disciples never knew what would happen next. You can check your own responses to life's challenges as you consider how they handled three different situations. The first, offended people. Jesus rejected the man-made traditions of the scribes and Pharisees because they focused on the outside and ignored the inner person. The other situation was persistent people. Again, the disciples were wrong. Jesus seemed to ignore the woman. His delays are not his denials. And then we'll read about hungry people. The disciples had already forgotten the miracle of feeding the 5,000. Can you imagine forgetting a miracle of that consequence, that size? When you're faced with a crisis, take time to review his past mercies. Remind yourself that he does not change. And now, let's begin our reading today, here in the New Testament. January 23rd, Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 28. Some Pharisees and teachers of religious law now arrived from Jerusalem to interview Jesus. "Why do your disciples disobey our age-old traditions?" they demanded. "They ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand-washing before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? For instance, God says, 'Honor your father and mother,' and 'Anyone who speaks evil of father or mother must be put to death.' But you say, 'You don't need to honor your parents by caring for their needs if you give the money to God instead.' And so, by your own tradition, you nullify the direct commandment of God. You hypocrites! Isaiah was prophesying about you when he said, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away. Their worship is a farce, for they replace God's commands with their own man-made teachings.'" Then Jesus called to the crowds and said, "Listen to what I say and try to understand. You are not defiled by what you eat. You are defiled by what you say and do." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you realize you offended the Pharisees by what you just said?" Jesus replied, "Every plant not planted by my heavenly Father will be rooted up, so ignore them. They are blind guides leading the blind. And if one blind person guides another, they will both fall into a ditch." Then Peter asked Jesus, "Explain what you meant when you said people aren't defiled by what they eat."
Don't you understand? Jesus asked him. Anything you eat passes through the stomach and then goes out of the body. But evil words come from an evil heart and defile the person who says them. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all other sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. These are what defile you. Eating with unwashed hands could never defile you and make you unacceptable to God. Jesus then left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, for my daughter has a demon in her, and it is severely tormenting her." But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. "Tell her to leave," they said. "She is bothering us with all her begging." Then he said to the woman, "I was sent only to help the people of Israel, God's lost sheep, not the Gentiles." But she came and worshipped him and pleaded again, "Lord, help me." "It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs," he said. "Yes, Lord," she replied, "but even dogs are permitted to eat crumbs that fall beneath our master's table." "Woman," Jesus said to her, "your faith is great. Your request is granted." And her daughter was instantly healed. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 14. God reveals himself in creation, in the scriptures, and in your heart as you worship him. To be properly educated in spiritual things, you must seek to master three books: the book of nature, the Bible, and the book of humanity. A scientist studies the book of nature, and a psychologist the book of human nature. But if they ignore God's book, their conclusions may be wrong. In the first few verses here in Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11, they tell you what the Bible can do for you if only you'll read it, meditate on it, and obey it. So open each day beholding God's glory in Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, what you have done will please him. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 14. For the choir director, a Psalm of David. The heavens tell of the glory of God. The skies display his marvelous craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is silent in the skies, yet their message has gone out to all the earth, and their words to all the world. The sun lives in the heavens where God placed it. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight to life. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true, each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to those who hear them. There is great reward for those who obey them. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep me from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Proverbs chapter 4. verses 14 through 19. Do not do as the wicked do, or follow the path of evildoers. Avoid their haunts. Turn away and go somewhere else. For evil people cannot sleep until they have done their evil deed for the day. They cannot rest unless they have caused someone to stumble. They eat wickedness and drink violence. The way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, which shines ever brighter until the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like complete darkness. Those who follow it have no idea what they are stumbling over.